Daryl thought he was going to help me up on this stool last time I was here. I want to thank Steve for leading that song. That song pretty much tells a story about what we're going to talk about tonight. I want to talk about weeds. Weeds are a hard thing to get rid of. Amen. They just keep cropping up, and it doesn't seem to matter sometimes what you do. You just can't get rid of them. When I was farming with my dad, getting rid of the weeds out in the field was a priority. We used machinery behind a tractor, sometimes two, three, sometimes four times throughout the summer to try to keep these weeds under control. Summer tilling was a way to get the ground prepared, so when planting time came for the crops in the fall, it had a seal and the moisture was sealed down underneath. So getting rid of the weeds not only made things look a lot better to us, but it also preserved the moisture underneath the ground, so when you planted the seed, it had somewhere to germinate. If there's a crop in the making, sometimes we'd have to use weed spray. Again, these weeds are tough things. Back in the 50s and 60s, we didn't have any idea how harmful these sprays were. We sat on open tractors, weed spray drifting all around us, and we never thought anything about it. That was ultimately one of the things that led to my dad's death. Scarred his lungs, along with some other things that happened on the farm back then. So we have to be careful sometimes even how we're getting rid of weeds. Those of us with yards and gardens, Stacy has pictures of her garden up all the time. I know she's out there pulling weeds. Otherwise, it couldn't look that good. If we don't take care of them, the weeds will overtake the plants and overtake the grass. So what do? We pull them, we spray them, and a lot of times we still can't seem to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing and constant problem. A few years back, Daryl redid my yard for me. He took the grass out and put desert landscape in, put plastic underneath the rock. And he said, by the way, you're going to see weeds once in a while because they come up through the plastic. He wasn't kidding me. You just can't seem to get rid of them all the time. And I told Peggy, they're not, these weeds, it's kind of like a bad habit. They just keep showing up, mm-hmm. No matter what you do with them. So we have to cultivate our lives also so the weeds don't take over. It takes concentrating on us, being aware of what's going on, and then being strong enough to get rid of them. These weeds can be many different things. They're not the common weed that we would see out in the yard. These things can be such things as simple as a bad relationship. Friends that take advantage of us. Bickering amongst family members. Maybe it's a job we don't like. Health problems. Homes that are not really home. Financial difficulties, stress, drug abuse, alcohol abuse. We could add to that list, it goes on and on and on. But these are things that just keep cropping up in our lives. So how do we get rid of these weeds? We had in class this morning, I'd made mention that the sermon that I'd put together tonight might seem somewhat hypocritical to someone doing this sermon and to me, because we don't live up sometimes to what we teach or what we preach. And it becomes, in our minds, hypocritical. The problem I've got with weeds is I try to take care of them myself. And we're going to take a look at some verses tonight which will show us how to deal with these weeds rather than try to deal with them ourselves. It's better to give them off to God. The song we just sang, and I thank Steve for leading that song for me, what a friend we have in Jesus. I hope you paid attention to that song and paid attention to the words. What a friend we have in Jesus. We can put all of our cares and burdens over on him. But do we really? I would ask you, do you believe in that? I would say, I certainly hope so. God will help us get rid of the weeds. And how's that done? It's done through prayer. You can lay all your problems on him, and he'll help you through them. That's where we get the strength to cultivate our lives and get rid of the weeds. So I want to take a look at some scriptures tonight that may help us with the idea of getting these weeds out of our life, with the idea of not trying to do everything on our own, not trying to do everything ourselves. As human beings, I think, you know, I don't think I'm alone in that we try to take care of it ourselves. Well, I can handle that. We've all said it, we've all tried it, and sometimes it works, but many times it doesn't. And what did we do? We end up talking to God about it. That's our avenue. So I want to start in Hebrews, because I think this is one of the verses that we need to really put in our lives, that we really need to understand what the writer of Hebrews is telling us here. And it's Hebrews 4, verse 16. And it reads this way. It says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The thing that it says is that it says, therefore, come boldly. Don't be timid about it. Don't just, you know, sometimes talking to God, we can become uncomfortable with it. But the writer here says, come boldly. Come with your problems. Come with the areas of concern that you have. And obtain that mercy and find the grace to help in that time of need. So I think the beginning of this lesson, as we understand what's going on, we have to look at it in such a way that we can't be timid. We can't be afraid to go and talk to God. Draw near to Him. Draw near with a confidence. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, follows in with drawing near with confidence. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, he gives instruction here to start with, and he says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have." Sometimes as humans and as we live in this world that we live in today, we just want more and more and more and more. And the writer here says, be content with such things you have. "For he himself," Jesus has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, back to this word bold again, we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." Can we boldly say that? Do we believe that? The next line says, "I will not fear." Then why do we? If the Lord's my helper and he's going to help me through problems, why do I fear it? What can man do to me? One of Bruce's favorite verses also. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What kind of a problem can we get to in this world that would separate us from God? What kind of manly thing could separate us? There's lots of them out there if we let it. But if we stay bold and we stay confident in looking to God for help and through situations, then what can man do to me? What's the worst thing that happens? What's he going to shoot you and kill you? Well, that's going to put me in a better place. So go ahead. That's the worst thing as we think of living on earth and as we think as humans. That's the worst thing man can do to me. Romans 8. Romans 8, 17 and 18. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider the sufferings of this present time," pay attention to this, "for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Why do we get so concerned about the things in our everyday lives when the glory that has been promised to us is so much better and so much stronger? Why would we even let that get to us? We can make all kinds of excuses for that, but what's the real reasoning? To me, the real reason is my relationship with God is not strong like it needs to be. I'm letting something else interfere with what my Christianity and my godly life should be. But Paul tells the church in Rome, I consider the sufferings of the present time, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed to us. Don't stress over it. Suffering with the present can't compare with the future glory. John 14:1. John 14:1 says this, let not your heart be troubled. The way that's stated, that's a command. Let not your heart be troubled. That it's difficult. How do we get around that? And then it goes on to say, this is how you let it not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. If we have a strong belief in God, if we have the strong belief in Jesus, then it says, let your heart not be troubled. If we're letting the problems of everyday life overtake us, then we've got a problem with our relationship with God. We have verse after verse, and you know, you can turn the Bible just about to any page and read where you need to give your problems to Jesus. It's everywhere. I've picked a few verses that are kind of my favorites that I go to when I need some reminders of what's going on in my life. Most of you are aware, you know, almost 20 years ago, I had a heart attack due to stress. I look at it back now, how stupid was that? It didn't need to happen. If I would have been given the problems to God instead of trying to handle them and conquer them on my own. Let not your heart be troubled. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Goes right along with what we've been talking about. Peter says the same thing. It's just repeated. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves. And then in verse 7, comes right back to what we just saw in Romans. Cast all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Again, where's our belief at? Do we really believe what these verses are talking to us about? If we do, it's going to ease getting through this life. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Matthew. Chapter 6. Verses 25 through 31. Matthew 6. 25 through 31. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. This is Jesus talking. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Now, that pretty well encompasses everything. And the opening line says, do not worry about it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then he goes into an analogy. He says, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Point here being, God even takes care of the birds, and they do nothing for themselves. And he says, are you not more valuable than? Do you think God is not going to take care of you? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, what good is it going to do to worry about everything? Verse 28 comes right back. It says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more than clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, right back again, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. So again, I ask the question, why so much worry in our lives? Why so much thought in our mind that we can handle this on our own? We don't have to. We've seen several scriptures right now so far that first of all tell us not to worry, and then will tell us how to get rid of it. What's the point? Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6, we're all familiar with this verse. We use it over and over and over, but it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Be anxious for nothing, again, is a command. That's Paul to the church at Philippi. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, go to God. Talk to God. Be anxious for nothing. Now, you remember we started this off talking about family concerns or friends that have not treated us right, or we got job concerns, or we got a home, it's not a home. All these things we talked about that are weeds in our lives, we're seeing verse after verse after verse, give it to God. Be anxious for nothing. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. One of my favorite verses in the whole entire Bible. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Nothing going to happen to you that isn't happening to everybody else. Any temptation that we run into is common to man. And then he says, but God is faithful. Okay, now we need to understand that. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. God is not going to put any more in your life or any more on your back than you can handle. And with that temptation that he puts in front of you, he's also going to make a way of escape. Well, how good is that? So I'm tempted, maybe fall into it, but God's going to give me a way of escape. How's that escape? I'm going to go talk to him and say, get me out of this jam. And I'm going to believe that he will. And it ends up, says that you may be able to bear it. God will put no more on us than we can handle. We have to believe that. Otherwise, that will lead to getting us, well, I'm going to say getting us down in life. We're seeing a lot today. About mental anguish and mental anxiety and mental problems and, you know, all the things that go along with what this pandemic has caused and with the young people and adults and what everybody's been through. And I understand all that, and I don't mean to lessen that because it's there. I've talked to two or three friends that have psychology degrees, and they believe what you're hearing, it's true. Okay? Now, we sit here as Christians tonight. Why do we let that get to us when we've got God to go to? I understand the world having a problem with it because they don't believe what God can do. They're going to try to do it on their own. And that leads to more anxiety because it isn't going to work. But we don't have to be there with it. As Christians, we can go to God. We can relieve a lot of what's going on in our lives if we'll let God help us. And we look at this verse in verse 13 in chapter 10 here in 1 Corinthians, and we see that God's not going to put any more on us than what we can handle. We need to believe that and not question it. Romans 8. Starting in verse 28. I'm going to go to the end of the chapter because this passage has good things to say. It reads this way. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. That's what we've been talking about. To those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he has also called. Whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. That's us. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And again, this comes back to our belief in God. How strong is your relationship? How strong is your belief? And if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God gave his only begotten son. What makes us think that he isn't going to provide for us? He gave the most precious thing he had. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus intercedes for us. Sometimes, you know, we can't get a clear thought as far as the verbiage as we want to say. That thought in our heart is going to get to God through Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it goes on. Paul says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, are these things going to separate us from Christ? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. How? Through him who loved us. We can conquer anything. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul has pretty much included everything. If you look at it in this verses 38 and 39. And then, you know, we look at that, and yet we still let things bother us. We still let things get into our hearts and our minds that take us away from God. It doesn't seem to matter how bad things seem. If we stay close to him, nothing can separate us from God's love. He will not forsake us. We need not to let anxieties get to us. We need to not let our hearts be troubled. We should cast all of our burdens and anxieties on God. He'll help us. He'll take you through tough times. We've read and studied tonight to where you're not going to get any more put on you than you can handle. Now, it gets to a point sometimes where you wonder. But if you're talking to God through this, you'll figure it out. He'll help you through it. We should cast all these burdens and anxieties on the Lord. And I'll end it with this. Blessed is the man who endures his trials and tribulations and stays steadfast in the Lord. That's the key to the whole situation. Truly, that person is happy. How to get weeds out of your life? Don't take God out of your life. Keep him in your life. Be steadfast in what you believe. Don't let things get to you. There's probably always going to be some weeds. There's always going to be weeds cropping up just like they do in the garden and in the flower bed. It's a daily struggle, if not hourly or minutely. But it's something we can conquer if we want to do it through God. If there's anyone here tonight that needs to get weeds out of their life and put their Lord on in baptism, now's the time, now's the place to do that. There might be some that have issues in their life that they need help with. We'd be more than honored to go into prayer with you and go to God and help you with those ordeals that are overtaking your life. If you have any kind of an issue at all, if you would make it known as we stand and sing the invitation.